I would imagine most, if not all of you, have done your share of flying and have been to different airports. Some are more challenging than others, but as you know, what you always do is you have to pack a suitcase or two. And of course, I don't know if there are any Dutchmen in the audience this evening, but you're always hoping to just carry on those check-on bags, aren't you? And in order to do that, you know they must weigh a certain amount and have certain dimensions. Well, have you ever had that, where you went and you put it on there, and the person helping you looks and says, it's over the limit. It's over 40 pounds or whatever it is, 50. Well, what do you do? Well, you probably decide to take some items out. Well, I don't think we really need this. Yeah, maybe I could take that out and then this out. Okay, let's try and weigh it again. And still, too heavy. Now, I tell you that because oppression means weighed down. Weighed down with a burden. Too much burden. And maybe it's fair to say that many people today carry with them too many burdens, too much baggage. I've had this happen before, and maybe it wasn't that good of a suitcase anyway, but I had it packed so full that I'm carrying it and the handle broke. Well, then it's of no use to me whatsoever. It broke. If a person is weighed down too much and carrying a heavy load, that person indeed could end up like that broken handle, that broken suitcase. I tell you that because as we read the first chapter of Exodus, we read a continuation from where Genesis left off. Goes right into describing Joseph and Joseph's fam. What a fine, upstanding family it was. Not. Joseph's family definitely put the funk in dysfunction. Maybe not necessarily the fun, but certainly the funk. And you know how it ends, right? You know Jacob finally makes, he gets to see his son, his long-lost son. And the brothers, when Jacob dies, all the brothers are worried, well, now Joseph's going to get us. And you know the words, Genesis 50, verse 20, hey, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, the saving of many lives. Now, that's a powerful statement. And, of course, Joseph had such a beautiful, beautiful faith in God. Well, now years have passed. And this nation, Israel, remember Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And now it's, I believe, around 2 million people. Over a span of 400 years, the Israelites have grown and grown. And now we have a Pharaoh who is fearful. He's very much afraid. And we have Israel and their faith in God. And we certainly see that in the midwives, Shipra and Puah. Their names meaning beautiful and splendor. They show an amazing faith in God. Egypt's oppression and God's deliverance. God's purpose is to save a people. To save a people. As I said earlier, oppression means to be weighed down, crushed with a burden. And if you are oppressed long enough, you will become depressed. Situational depression. Indeed, you can become depressed because of your situation. Depressing things have happened to you. Or you have done things that will certainly depress you. holding down, being held down, in bondage, lots of baggage. But through all of this struggling now going on with this young nation, they grow, and they grow. Pharaoh was hoping that they'd shrink, that they become weak, that they maybe want to give up. They don't. Maybe you've heard of the statement by C.S. Lewis, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone to a deaf world. And as you know, Egypt symbolizes the world, and Pharaoh symbolizes the devil, and yes, sooner or later we come across Moses, very soon, the next chapter. And Moses, for I drew him out of the water, Moses typifies Jesus Christ. So Exodus is a story of redemption. It's the first portrayal of the gospel. God saving his people from slavery with a promise to bring them into a place of rest. And Pharaoh acts like a tyrant because he is a tyrant. In the New Testament, you know of another tyrant, Herod, with a similar decree. And how do tyrants always act? Paranoid. Paranoid. Just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean people aren't out to get me. And so they oppress and they oppress. Pharaoh is living in fear. Isn't that amazing? He has all this power, but he's very fearful. And as I said just a moment ago, Pharaoh symbolizes Satan. What does Satan want to do with you? He wants to bind you. He wants to entangle you. He wants to hold you captive. And he wants you to consider that your life and your situation is hopeless. And what we find out in Exodus and what we find out in God's Word, as it says in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And we will celebrate freedom. We will break loose from the bondage that we find ourselves in. You see, growth occurs through oppression. Growth rarely happens in times of comfort and luxury and wealth. And our human nature is such that we are always striving to more than anything else, be comfortable. I just want to be comfortable. I don't want to be stretched too much. Years ago, there was a song by a group known as Pink Floyd, Comfortably Numb. Just let me be comfortable. Let me stay in the same old. Well, we grow and we multiply our faith when we cling to God's promises, which were given already back in with Abraham, the covenant of grace. And we grow more in times of trial and times of pain. And I will tell you something right now, simply put, there are only two kinds of people. People who are in pain and people who are going to be in pain. And the mortality rate in Australia and Africa is the same mortality rate that it is in the United States, 100%. Now, I don't mean to be a person of doom and gloom. I think I'm just stating some facts and some background to God hearing the Israelites cry out, hearing their groaning, and he's going to send a deliverer. We grow through our trials. We gain patience and understanding and wisdom and discernment in trials, and we learn to wait waiting upon the Lord. Patience is waiting without worrying. And we grow through obedience. Obeying God. The midwives feared God. They did not do what the king ordered. They refused to obey the king. Now, as you know the story, as it plays out, the same ruler who wanted to drown God's people saw his own army drowned in the Red Sea. The natural state of affairs, welcome to the human race, is about trouble, difficulty, even controversy. It's an inevitable part of life. There has been dark days, and there will be dark days. Trials that may dim your spirit and struggles that sap your strength and seek to destroy you from the inside out. But remember, God is in control. He is in control of your life. And He is working in your life. Working for the good, not the bad. Working to make you a better, stronger Christian. Not a bitter Christian, a better Christian. And as we grow through our trials and struggles, you notice the word bitter has an I. Better has an E. It's pretty easy to become bitter if you focus on that one letter. I, rather than E, maybe being the exalted God, an exalting God. Yes, indeed, Pharaoh's oppression of the Israelites made the Israelites a powerful nation. Growth because of persecution. And the same holds true in the New Testament. The blood of the martyrs spread the church, allowed the church to grow and grow significantly. 100 AD, what were there? 20,000 Christians? By 300 AD, 22 million Christians. Why did it spread? Why did it spread, the Christianity of the early church? Because of persecution. So let me ask you this evening, let me be bold, let me be personal up front. What difficulty, what calamity do you face today in your life? Could you use a little deliverance in your life today? Have you been taken prisoner in some way by some oppressive power or oppressive influence? Do you feel burdened by chains that have tied you down to a life of mindless, meaningless toil? What can the Lord free you of today, this day? Our God never changes. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In this biblical account of rescue and freedom, we realize that no human powers nor spiritual powers are able to overcome our God's plan. And this truth is something that you and I hold on to and cling to dearly. And God wants His people to be free. Free in mind. Free in body. Free in the spirit. To follow Him. Spiritual oppression is a significant form of oppression. What would be some of the symptoms? Oh, how about a lack of spiritual passion? How about frustration? Frustration with how your life has been going. Your situation. Maybe your health. Maybe your work. Maybe your family. Maybe your marriage. You find yourself on edge, anxious. Maybe you're confused about your purpose of life. Maybe you've lost your identity. Who am I? I am a child of God. Bottom line, I belong to God. I am a child of God. He loves me. He always has and He always will. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Maybe you lack any kind of peace. The enemy brings mental fatigue, worn down, tired all the time. It's been a long winter. And maybe you've even had the urge to just give it up. Give up. What's the use? Satan wants to move you away from your destiny, from living out a life that he's called you to. And so you get sucked in. You find yourself restless, irritable, and discontent. A negative downward spiral. Old habits, old behaviors, old attitudes keep cropping up time and time again. That would be some spiritual oppression. That would be because Satan wants to take you out. He wants to oppress you. He wants you to be a slave. And God wants His people to be free. Keys to Christian freedom. Recognize the oppression in your life. And what's challenging and difficult about that is that takes honesty, that takes transparency, and that takes humility. Probably starting with humility. To be able to recognize your own weaknesses, your own flaws, your own character defects. I believe you have them because I believe you are human. Yes, I teach school and have for a long time, and I get to hear beautiful confessions often. And the beautiful confessions usually go something like this. Mr. Miedema, this is what Johnny did during recess. And the person talking to me is usually not Johnny. Confession isn't confessing what someone else has done or said wrong. But to do that takes such humility, doesn't it? Have faith in God. God is God. You are not. There is a God, and I'm not Him. Prayer and self-discipline. Discipline and self-prayer. And self-discipline and prayer. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And believe me, it is the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. And the challenge is, the struggle is with your own flesh. your fleshiness. Yes, the three great enemies of the Christian, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Sometimes the difficult one is the flesh. Jesus invites us in the New Testament. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The words of Paul. But also Jesus Christ says, if anyone is to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to gain his life must lose it. And whoever will lose his life for the gospel will find it. Jesus is saying, you need to kill yourself. Who wants to hire a hitman to kill themselves? Who wants to totally see the flesh die? It takes prayer and discipline. It takes the guiding, skillful hands of the Holy Spirit, a counselor, to allow you discernment. Learn to discern. The ability to read between the lines. The ability to see what's really going on in your life. We all have blind spots. And I trust that you have Christian friends that are willing to stab you in the front, not in the back. Yes, they stab you right in the heart, and there's a lot of blood, but they're right there, and they're helping you clean it up. James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Flee, run, and do not leave a forwarding address. Break the chains of spiritual oppression today. Free, free indeed. You are free indeed. How does Romans chapter 8 end? What then shall we say? What then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Or what shall separate us? Trouble? Hardship? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Danger? Sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You are a conqueror. Victory, yes, in Jesus Christ. What can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. From John 8, verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And Christian freedom is out of this world. It's out of this world. Freedom as the world knows it is self-centered, self-exalting, self-righteous, and self-destructive. It's freedom, all right, without any love. We are free to love. Christian freedom is not the right to do what we want, but Christian freedom gives us the power to do what we ought. Because freedom that is not guided and moved by love soon descends into destructive self-indulgence. And when we act with love towards one another, we have fulfilled the law of God, the royal law. God's love and bitter strife in our lives cannot coexist. There is hope. There is hope. As long as there is breath, there is hope. People hope for freedom. People long for freedom. Exodus chapter 20, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. My friends in Christ, what will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Know it, believe it, accept it, live it. For it is the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen.